Good evening, I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I don't know what all the fuss is about. They didn't even do a segment on mining.
But we're getting the Panther and Clipper in Update 17, right? Right? I'm Mia Harkness, and I'm a wee bit overexcited.
I'm Sandy Crevis, and I'm sure that Sally hasn't aged a bit. And it's been months since the last live stream.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I'll pan anyone who says anything nasty about Arthur's hair.
He hasn't got any hair. Ow!
Let's get to the headlines while the apology officer's still unconscious. LCU A-OK PR.
Tharg hits us where it hurts. Right in the news feed.
It's hot, it's messy, it's still going. The latest update on Too Hot, Too Messy.
Space Mania rocks the galaxy. From a field filled with stars.
Are you bamboozled by the BGS? Yeah, us too. First this evening, we've got news from the campaign trail, with Zach Rappin coming under increased scrutiny from the investigative agencies as to whether his past lives were a pirate, a painter, a pimp, or a prince, all of which have various negative and positive implications on his suitability to be federal president, but it isn't our place to pass comment on that. Outside candidate LCU No Fool Like One was feeling a little left out. With the implication that you're only likely to be taken seriously as a candidate if you've got at least some skeletons in your closet, and something for the opposition to moan about, his PR team felt that being banned from singing in public ever again wasn't suitably shady for a politician, and therefore they've been feeding the gutter press a series of salacious stories and positively eye-popping tales to ensure that LCU stays at the top of the red tops and not relegated to the lower scrolled sections of the political column in the 36 Offuchi Monthly. Whereas with most political candidates, the stories are at least loosely based in fact, there is some degree of scepticism about the claims related to LCU No Fool Like One. For instance, that he was present during the storming of the Bastille, had personally operated the guillotine that shortened the height of a number of members of the bourgeoisie. Also, that he was once proclaimed the king by the Empire, which normally would disqualify him from running for federal president. But he was mysteriously stripped of that title after the incident with the lady, the lake, the rather sharp implement, and the mistimed return throw. Apparently playing catch with mysterious watery ladies across misty limpid pools is no basis for any form of government. Then, of course, there were the scurrilous claims that it was LCU No Fool Like One who removed all the bark mounds from the galaxy, having scanned them first and catalogued them, to make himself unfeasibly rich and send everyone else on a wild goose chase. Unfortunately, despite all of this, and contrary to all the rumours, LCU is entirely the wrong sort of right person to be a candidate. Okay, so he likes a glass of Centauri Megagen or two of an evening, and is prone to long diatribes about newly discovered species of exobiology. But other than that, as far as we can tell, he's actually quite a decent bloke. As long as you don't let him sing. All of which amounts to being a theoretical fantastic candidate, and as a result, wholly inappropriate to be a low-down, skullduggery-employing, rotten politician.
The Thargoids strike back, with every pilot's codex being full to the brim of ancient tales of how the war was won and where it got us, from back in the day when we last encountered the Thargoids. Most people are aware of the use of the mycoid virus to bring Tharg the Mighty's mighty minions low, and send them scuttling back to the Col 70 sector from whence they came. It appears, however, that Tharg has learned his lesson and turned the tables on humanity, studying all the millions of humans that he's been kidnapping and storing up in his titans. Tharg the Mighty appears to have come to a few conclusions. Number one, humans and viruses don't mix well. Okay, so some of them give you a snotty nose or a nasty rash, but in general, humanity and viruses don't mix too well. Especially the nasty ones that liquefy your insides or make your head explode or your legs drop off or your genitals turn into watermelons, complete with colour. Number two, humans are addicted to the news. Any news. Could be a reputable outlet like an Imperial Telegraph or the Alliance Guardian or even the Federal Mail, complete with pull-out children's supplement and complicated crosswords made up entirely of four-letter words with finger spaces. Or, of course, could be Galberg fake news of a kind, of you won't believe what happened next and public outrage, as well as generally speaking Galberg suggests that everyone is outraged at everything most of the time. And after reading the article, either the reader is also outraged, or they're outraged at the suggestion that they're outraged, or of course outraged at the grammatical and punctuation errors littered throughout the article. And after this extensive study, and having snacked on a few of them as he or she or they were peckish, Tharg the Mighty's mighty medical machine was set to hell-bent on humanity's destruction, and appear to have invested the first visually transmitted virus in the galaxy, leaking spooky pictures of what appear to be Thargoid structures, beaming lights, swooping fuckers, and strange coloured clouds to Galnet streamers and news outlets everywhere. Tharg's propagated his virulent visual video as far as he can throughout human-occupied space and sat back to see the results. There were rumours that his first testbed for this was at a gathering of pits, or burrs, or burpitians, last weekend. From there, it spread to the Galactic Forums, Galtwit, and of course Galbook, and the Galnet News Digest. The first indication of his insidious payload was when Commander Wotherspoon came down with a bit of a sniffle, then a sore throat, then the full collie wobbles, after sticking a thingy up his appropriate orifice and wiggling it about a bit before dropping a few drops of special solution number 5 on the stick. It did indeed confirm that Tharg had weaponized mods. Mug ownership deficiency syndrome. And what's more, this appears to be a mug-resistant strain. Commander Wotherspoon has been given a good dose of there-there by Nurse Wayeth, from behind a protective screen and wearing full hazmat suit. Plenty of fluids, and told to take two of these and call me in the morning. He is said to be recovering swiftly. This is a warning to all commanders. Be careful what you watch on the internet, as it just might be the latest nasty sent by Tharg to defeat humanity. Of course, it could just be that Commander Wotherspoon licked one too many commanders at PitCon, but we prefer the Thargoid story and we're leaving it at that.
Well, we are 59 weeks into Too Hot, Too Messy and closing in on 100,000 deliveries each of mugs and gin. Current stats put us at over 96,000 mugs and 95,000 gin. Things have slowed down a bit this week since Commander Chicks is in West Britain in an area so remote some say that they only have black and white dial-up internet. Steve King rounds off the 1,000 clubs still with Stereo MD being the next likely candidate. With 824 mugs delivered, though they do still have a way to go. 824 mugs is in no way to be sniffed at though. That's 14 mugs and gin per week from the beginning of the event. 299 commanders have contributed to the effort so far. Go on, why don't you become number 300? I just noticed something. If the illustrious Commander Zulu Romeo dropped just one more mug and one gin, he would jump from 203rd place for mugs to 180th place and from 201st place for Jin to 179th place for Jin. Just saying. Traffic calming measures on the approach to Hutton Orbital seem to be working well this week. Everyone seems to be able to get landed, and incidents of commanders gesturing rudely from their cockpit windows has gone down 17%. Swearing over comms is down 26%. Mooning from cockpit windows has gone up significantly, but this is believed to be because Gusto the Clown has managed to get his old sidewinder running and he just enjoys it rather than anything anger-related. This week's Hutton stats are Norbert Pertanerud, 1 hour 23 minutes 29 seconds. Chucklefolk, 1 hour 23 minutes 44 seconds. Sinister Hedgehog, 1 hour 23 56 seconds. William P. Ursus, 1 hour 24 minutes 48 seconds. And Steve King, 1 hour 36 minutes 39 seconds.
The galaxy has been abuzz in recent weeks with the launch of the latest entertainment software in game suites and stations across populated space. Gone are the coffee table space invaders, regulated to a storeroom, the aging Pac-Man machines and their endless waka 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 wibble wibble noises. Commanders looking for an escape from the drudgery of flying through the stars, landing in alien worlds and discovering new life out there, plus shooting at a lot of it, can now relax by firing up a simulator that allows them to fly through the stars, land on alien worlds, discover new life and shoot at some of it, and what's more, unlike the real galaxy, it only has 1,000 or so planets, and you don't have to learn how to use a complicated HOTAS, land, take off, perform tenuous atmosphere landings on 10G worlds, and you don't get fined 100 credits for being an oaf and blocking the docking bay. Nothing like a bit of escapism doing something completely different to make you realise quite how splendid our universe actually is. And that the bit we really enjoy is tooling around in our spaceships in a ring around an Earth-like, dogfighting with pirates and just occasionally blasting the odd icy rock. That said, there's something to be said for standing up from the virtual cockpit once in a while and poking the button on the coffee machine. Anyway, this cute little simulation is available in all good games rooms on a station near you, and for approximately the same cost as 15 starter sidewinders.
In the absence of Commander Chicks this week, we went to the great minds of the BGS, those with intellects immeasurably superior to ours and brains the size of a planet. But unfortunately, they told us to bugger off, so we had to ask Snuggles McKeague and King Hanky. What they told us is, for the bubble, there is civil unrest in Alpha Centauri, so bounties and security type missions work a treat there, because the peasants are revolting. In Colonia, Emperor King Hanky of all the Colonias bids you work in systems especially Tyr and Deriso. Looking at our other systems, and then scratching our heads, for the love of Alvin, stay out of Y0855-0714. It's at 75%, guys. Epsilon Indy, on the other hand, could do with a push. Give Hackhall a poke if you have time and inclination. Hilp RC could do with a tickle. And leave Leighton 145-141 alone. So, if you want to truck something, truck it to Epsilon Eridani, where there's a boom on. If you want to exploit the suffering of others for your own selfish gain and then get over to If you want to exploit the suffering of others for your own selfish gain, then get yourself over to Epsilon Indy, where they're having a bit of an outbreak. If you want to shoot something, then shoot it in Alpha Centauri.